2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
Hey, everybody. J.J. Cooper, Jeff Ponce here, another Baseball America Prospect podcast. We are burning the midnight oil to give you this one because I feel comfortable saying you're going to be listening to this on Friday at the earliest because I'm on the West Coast. This podcast will not end until Friday for Jeff. I feel pretty confident, but it was a very fun day for both of us because we were at the first ever spring breakout games. And Jeff, I'll go all cliche here, but where else would you rather be?
Yeah. Hey, unless it was a mountain of money with endless ice cream, I don't think there would have been better places to be, for me at least, in Bradenton tonight. And, I could argue I might have gotten the premier matchup of, in terms of pitcher versus hitter, of the breakout series so far.
I got to watch the video, but I was not sitting behind home plate for it. Okay. For those who are listening to the Baseball America podcast, but have not managed to watch this, because it's worth watching, take us through it, Jeff.
So two players in question here are Paul Skeens, the number one pick in the 2023 draft, and Jackson Holliday, of course, our number one prospect in baseball, and the number one pick in the previous draft, the 2022 draft. They had faced off before. If you remember, there was an outcry in social media because it was not televised. This was televised, and we had plenty of cameras live and direct. I shot some footage on my phone. That's up on Twitter now. I'll have the whole video up tomorrow of Skeens' entire inning. But Holliday steps in the box. Skeens falls behind. Did have, a strike already in the count. And then came right at him with a pair of secondaries and just finished him off with, 92 mile per hour changeup right off the edge of the plate. Holliday whiffed, came down to a knee, not something you often see Jackson Holliday do. That to me was the high point of the entire night. Skeens did hit 100 at least once, and on the guns that I saw was 100. That the velo wasn't on the board for Skeens inning. I don't know why. Of all the innings in the prospect breakout series that you wouldn't have velo up, it happened to be Paul Skeens. It was on Hawkeye, so you were able to pull it up. And
right, I was going to say Hawkeye actually, if I remember correctly, had him more than that.
Was
Hawkeye had him at 101.7 twice.
Okay, so it was 101.7. Like I said,
101.7 once against Holliday, once against Bradfield. 101.1 against Holliday, 100.6 against Holliday.
There you go. There was a 100 mile per hour fastball earlier in the count. But when he came back with that changeup and just bit him up on it, that to me was like an aha moment a little bit. He had talked about the splinker that he was throwing. I don't know if that specifically was what that was, or if that was just the straight changeup that we did see at times at LSU. And I know that, your words were ringing in my head in terms of what you had said pre-draft with Skeens, that he's got a really good changeup. He just didn't throw it. And the more video you watched, that it stuck out. It was a great pitch. He really executed against a really tough left-handed batter, guy that puts the bat in the ball and often doesn't get fooled, even against major league pitchers. So for me with Skeens, it was just one of those things where he just came out. It was the most dominant inning I've seen in quite a while. Single inning, he can air it out. Obviously want to see what it looks like the second time through the order, but it was everything. He was everything that he was billed to be, and made quick work of a very talented Orioles top of the order in Enrique Bradfield, Holliday, and they had Norby actually hitting three. So he didn't face Mayo, and he did not face Paseo.
Man, what a moment. What?
Yeah.
There's a column up at baseballamerica.com as you listen to this, where I wrote about this today. And the thing that just jumps out to me is already we're two games in. This is a success. This is something where I just hope and pray this continues year after year after year, because as a prospect watcher, if you enjoy prospects, I think this is the best it gets. This is the best. You can talk about the AFL. I love the AFL. Not as much as Josh Norris, but I love the AFL. Pitching at the AFL is nothing like this. This is, you're getting most everyone as they're just ramped up. And by the way, you compare it then to the Futures game, where we do get 50 players, 50 of the best, but not as many prospects as this, just by sheer nature of you can only have 50, where there are more than there are more than 60 plus of the top 100 prospects here playing these games. But on top of that, the Futures game flies by. There's seven total innings, and a whole lot of the players make very brief cameo appearances. Now batting and playing one inning in the field is so-and-so, because you're trying to get 50 players to play in seven innings.
Mm-hmm.
You had Cade Povich go three innings. You got to see Cade Povich enough to kind of be like, this is kind of who he is.
Yeah.
I had Julian Aguiar go three innings. I had Rhett Lauder go two. You know, it was something where you were seeing guys pitch. You were seeing guys. Sebastian Walcott played the whole game for me. You know, I one of the best 18-year-old shortstops, you know, in the world, and he played the whole game. And that's just kind of what this is. And the thing that jumps out, the thing that I kind of stands out about, I think you got the better matchup. I got the better game.
She did.
Not that either of these games were, I mean, my game was 4-1. But I got a Cam Collier home run opposite field. I got a South Stewart double. I got to see, you know, Brock Porter pitch pretty well. Rhett Lauder looked really good. I got to be in the dugout for part of this, because the way they did it at Reds camp, which was really cool, was, hey, if you sit in the far corner, stand in the far corner of the dugout, we'll just bring you guys as they do things. So Rhett Lauder finished his start or his outing and wandered over, and we talked to Rhett Lauder. You know, Julian Aguiar. It was really well done that way. And the thing that just jumps out about all of this, though, that I would just go back to, is this is the chance to see many of the best in one game or one week. I'll kick it back to you by asking, I know that pitching kind of dominated your game. Was there anyone who particularly kind of caught your eye or anything unexpected that you saw?
You know, I don't know if necessarily unexpected. You know, Ashcraft was kind of interesting. He came in, sat like 96, 97, touched 98, landed a couple of good sliders. He did give up the only run of the game, but kind of a guy that came in where it was like, all right, I could see this guy at the back end of a bullpen, maybe by the end of the year, you know, maybe a decent piece for the Pirates. He was kind of interesting. This guy Christian Curtis came in. He threw pretty hard, kind of spun off his front side a little bit, so the command was kind of janky, especially the glove side. He was kind of yanking everything over there, but he was interesting. All the arms, like, for the most part, were pretty good. So Hunter Barco for a couple of innings as well. Pat Riley came in, who I loved in the Cape in 21, and like, he was rough the last couple of years at Vandy. And it looked way cleaner. It looked way more like the guy that I saw a few years ago. I mean, the command is still iffy, but the stuff is still there. It was 95 to 97 with action, and, you know, ripped off a couple of good breaking balls. So that gave me hope, because he was somebody that I've liked for a long time. And then Chandler came in at the end and just threw absolute smoke. That fastball just explodes out of his hand. You know, 96 to 98 miles an hour. Got four swinging strikes on that pitch. Didn't really have to throw the secondaries very much. But he came in and closed the door for him. And on the other side, you mentioned I got to see quite a bit of Cade Povich, and I got three innings of Trace Bright as well. So, interesting fastball, kind of the same deal with Bright as last year. But I was surprised that we only got two Orioles arms. It was almost like they got their regular work in, just like they probably would in a backfield game, throwing three or four innings. So each of them threw three. I don't know if the game had gone differently, if somebody would have come in and the seventh or not.
The biggest disappointment in my game is the Reds in the final inning, knowing that we were in the seventh. Alfredo Duno was on deck when the final out was recorded in the seventh, so I only got to see him take one at bat. The thing about Duno, though, that does jump out, and if you're kind of wondering who that is, that was the Reds' big signing internationally last year, who went to the DSL, had an arm injury, sore arm, not really an injury, but sore arm. They were very cautious with, so he didn't catch last year. But he's in the States already, which I just highlight because that tells you on a prospect right now, coming from the Dominican, something significant, because a lot of teams are kind of holding off on those guys, especially if they're ticketed for the complex. They're going to wait. The minute they come to the States, and play, go to camp, they're a counter for the 175 current player limit that will go down to 165 at the start of the minor league season for domestic U.S. players. And so the fact that he's already here, and the fact that they think that having him here is important enough to do so, even though it meant that he counts towards that 175, says something. The thing about him is, man, that is a truly massive human for a teenage catcher. He's not Bryce Eldridge massive. Like, Bryce Eldridge fits in the Aaron Judge category of, like, okay, imagine if you just took a human and supersized them from the baseball player's perspective. I've covered basketball before and football, NFL and all, where offensive linemen are different kind of massive. But in baseball terms, Bryce Eldridge is about as big as they get. But then Alfredo Duno, for a teenager, is about as big as they get. And I say that partly. It is something where I came away from this going, if there's more growth here, and just, I don't mean like he gets fat. I mean just like if he gets bigger because he just keeps growing, I do wonder, like, he's already going to be pretty high up on that level, that threshold of can a guy catch, because he's already really big. But I've also heard that his power is really impressive, in
The
BP
track.
sessions and all that as well. Huh?
So that would track just with the size of the person and,
Yes.
contain some of
Yes.
that. I saw an
But
equally large teenager and catcher in Sammy Basayo.
yeah, what did you think?
He stole a base. That was surprising. There it was actually no, I'm wrong. He didn't steal a base. He took a base, I think, on difference. But the most disappointing thing is pretty easy, I think, for me to call out. And that is the Orioles only got a single hit in this game. And it
Which
happened
is
to be,
crazy.
and it was an infield single that Enrique Bradfield legged out. That was the only hit in the entire game. They did have four walks. And had a sacrifice fly, and that's how they ended up scoring the run. But that was a little disappointing. I think when you look at this Orioles lineup, you look at Bradfield, followed by Holiday, followed by Norby, followed by Mayo, followed by Pasayo, followed by even Beavers. Billy Cook can hit. Fabian can hit a little bit, especially in a prospect game. Fabian actually took one to the wall to the opposite field. He probably had the loudest hit of the night. But there just were not a lot of offensive fireworks in this game at all. It was the narrative was very much the pitching and the Pirates sort of jumped on early in the first couple of innings and then got an insurance run in the sixth. But I think the story of this game was definitely the Pirates pitching.
Thing that also just jumps out with that we probably should have mentioned, we did a podcast series where we talked about how, hey, if you took all 30 of these teams and you lined them all up, and we did it without Basayo because we're like, oh, Basayo's hurt, he won't be able to play in this game, and we were like, the Orioles, they're the clear number one, and here we are, one game, this there was the that was the second game of the entire series, and entire show game, spring breakout series, and the Orioles lost. So as baseball is baseball, right? Like, you know,
yes. But no, it's exactly it, right? That it's true. And hey, you know, kudos to the Pirates pitching, and they do have some really interesting arms, and I think they got an opportunity to showcase a few of those guys tonight. Oh, and by the way, they have Jared Jones, who was held out of this game, who's a prospect, a top 100 prospect for us, who could potentially break camp in their rotation. So things are kind of, you know, I left the game feeling a little bit more optimistic about the Pirates. They kind of have a young lineup. It's like, all right, like, it's not as bad as you think.
That leads me, that's a perfect segue to speaking of a guy who looks slated to be in an opening day lineup from the Rangers' perspective. And we'll cover that right after this quick break.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. What I love about using Indeed is how it does a lot of that organizational work for me. I can sort through candidates. I can respond to them. I can schedule interviews all through Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses, including Baseball America, that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So, Jeff, he wasn't in the spring breakout game, but this is, when I say this is putting something on a tee for Jeff, Jeff is a, when I say Wyatt Langford believer, you know, it goes far beyond that. But at this point, I will say, I'll raise my hand, Wyatt Langford hit a grand slam tonight in the big league game. I missed it. I had a long drive back. I had this podcast to record. I had video to work up. I had the internet was terrible at the Surprise Stadium. So I saw Langford hit, but I didn't stick around. And it would have had to stick around a while because it was his third at bat. But White Langford hit a grand slam tonight. And I will say at this point, it's almost impossible that Wyatt Langford will not break camp with this team. I feel like he has been one of the best hitters, period, in spring training. I'm not like one of the best rookies, one of the best hitters in spring training. And I would say that, am I wrong in saying that you're not all that surprised?
No, I don't think I am. I mean, I'll say this, and this is something that sounds kind of arrogant, I guess, but I think when you have access to data, and now that we've had access to data for 3 years, we have some historical, you know, benchmarks. When you exceed all of those benchmarks on the hitting side, it's usually a sign that you're like a major guy, and we've seen it time and time again. And, you know, usually it's, you got to have two of the three, whether it's contact, approach, and power. And usually power is the biggest one. And then you have either a choice of the other two. This is a guy that has all three. And I think that we haven't even seen the hit tool play as well as it potentially could as he starts to get more of a rhythm and sees more major league pitching. I think this is going to be like a Chris Bryant kind of a guy that just comes in and just rakes. I think he's going to be their three or four hitter in the lineup of a defending World Series champion, and there's another equally great rookie in that lineup. I mean, that's it's a real embarrassment of riches in Texas right now. You know, it's about as good of a situation as you could have. And it's the reason they were our organization of the year this year. But yeah, I obviously believe in Lankford, and he's done nothing but get better as spring training has gone on. It seems like he's made adjustments. He was swinging and missing a little bit more early in spring training. And now, you know, you've really seen the power take a step forward over the last couple of weeks. And I don't think it's going to end. You know, I think he's going to go on a tear this year.
When I say that he's been one of the best hitters in spring training, the only real complaint that you could make about that is you might could say that I'm really just kind of selling him short, because I'm going to do a quick, probably not the best podcasting, but I'm going to do a little bit of it real quick, which is Wyatt Langford is fifth among all hitters in spring training in batting average 361. He's tied for first in home runs with five. He is sixth in OBP at 442. He's first in the majors in slugging at 806. He's first in OPS at 1.248. Yeah. I mean, what do you say? You know, like, it's something where he's been, the best way I can put it is he reached AAA last year. And you could say, you could do, speaking of, you mentioned Chris Bryant, you could use the, oh, he needs to work on his defense, because he probably could work on his defense. But I don't think that they're going to ever play him almost ever in the outfield, because they have an outfield. They have Tavares. They have Carter. They have Adolis Garcia. Mm-hmm. Travis Jankowski is a better defender than Wyatt Langford. I think his main role this year is going to be as, please go MASH, as our DH. And if he's going to be the DH, which was what he was hitting, you know, doing tonight, hitting three hole for them, he's going to be their DH. There's really nothing for him to work on in the minors unless his bat is not as good as it's looked pretty much from the moment
last year.
Yeah. Because he was great last year. He was every bit as good as this last year in the minors as well.
And he was at Florida too. You know, I mean, Skeens and Cruz won, but who did they have to beat in order to take home the College World Series, right? So, you know, I think the thing with the Rangers, too, is it's advantageous for them to break camp with him, because he does have such a high percentage chance of potentially earning them an extra pick. And I think if you're the Rangers and you know that, you know, you're going to probably be picking at the end of the first round going forward for quite a while in those last 10 picks or so, getting that extra bonus money really makes you much more powerful in terms of the way the baseball draft works and being able to move players around the board. I think that, you know, that's one of those things where there's such a huge additional benefit for them in terms of being able to keep this churning and keep on bringing in talented players to backfill, that the extra year of control or whatever is just not going to be as valuable to them as the pick. And the other thing is, they're a competitive team. Their competitive window is open, obviously. And when you're a team like that, there's no reason not to have your best 26 guys in the field.
And that's the thing is that it's hard to make any kind of argument right now than that, because he's been their best hitter. Yeah. And I know spring training, but he's been their best hitter after being the best hitter in the minors during that very brief stretch that he was in the minors last year that went all the way up to AAA. It's one of those things where it's where the rare and seemingly unexpected is actually now the expected, because if he doesn't break camp with the team now, I think it's more of a surprise than anything else. Yeah. So tomorrow, if you got to see the main event today, I might get to see, it's either main event part two, or maybe it's actually the main event, because I get Padres Mariners tomorrow, which 10 top 100 prospects, one game.
Yeah.
I mean, the Futures game, I've seen that. That's it. That's the end of my list. I've been doing this for a while. I've never seen 10 top 100 prospects in one game at a non-Futures game event.
Yeah. And I felt like tonight, in comparison to other exhibitions that I've been to that there was an organizational pride thing that I think guys wanted to win this game, you know? And I think like when you see the Futures game, you see some of these all-star games, players want to go, they want to do well when they're at bats, but the bigger picture of winning the game kind of secondary, where I kind of felt tonight, like, you know, the execution, it wasn't sloppy, a lot of that sort of stuff. And you could just sort of tell guys were up in the top step and like were invested in the game. And I think for a lot of these guys too, it was an opportunity for them to play on, you know, nationally televised game in a big league park against good players, you know, for the family and friends and fans watching at home. So, you know, I think there was some other element to that. And the fact there's going to be a bunch of these over the course of the weekend, I think it's going to be a great weekend for baseball and our little niche of baseball in terms of prospect hunting and watching and enjoying, et cetera.
Now let me throw out the crazy thing, right? Like, what if one of these days, what if this became that, okay, we start with 30, I guess two get a bye. You know, your World Series champs, they get a bye, right? Your World Series champs and your pennant winners, they get a bye. So they advance on. And so then 28, you know, play for 14. And so, okay, let's just go 14, you know, 8, you know, because then you do work them in. So it's now, instead of 14, it's 16. And then you have 8, and then you have 4, then you have 2. To you know, you could do this pretty quickly. And I mean, again, I would say that farm directors would be probably like pulling hair out on the idea of there being really competitive games to win a title in,
oh my God,
mid to late March. You know,
you think,
no, we're just, you're just getting your work. But
you think Josh Norris and the cranky fans out there got upset about Edwin Diaz getting hurt in the WBC. Can you imagine if the top prospect got hurt in one of the, in a competitive tournament of prospects? Oh my God. The internet would burn.
By the way, I had that fear. We settle in. First batter of the first game, Brock Porter, one of the Rangers' best pitching prospects on the mound, and Carlos Jorge hits a comebacker that hits him. And it's like, uh-oh, trainers are coming out. And I'm thinking, if Carlos Jorge, like, you know, broke Brock Porter with that comebacker, that's not going to be good for this. That the first batter of the first game of this, and someone's already hurt, thankfully he stays in the game. We go a couple of innings later, and Michael Troutwine gets hit on the hand, and the trainers come back out. And I'm like, oh, no, here we are again. But he stays in the game as well. You know, so
I did have Bubba Chandler hit. So he was up 0-2 on Creed Williams, and he hit, I thought it was on the wrist, but I guess it was on the elbow behind home plate. So I can see it come in, but I can't see if it hits here or here. And I guess he hit him on the elbow, but it was 98, and he kind of walked to first and was kind of like, he was, you could tell it was like clenching his teeth, not wanting to make any reaction. And the trainers came out and pulled him out of the game. But yeah, taking 98 from Bubba Chandler on the elbow, that's not fun. That's among the worst things that you could probably experience, because that thing explodes too. Like, that's a fastball with, like, you know, we look at radar guns and you got the initial peak read and then you got the roll down in terms of when it hits home plate. He was like 98 with like a 92 roll down. Like, it's not losing a lot of speed as it's hitting the plate. That's a fast fastball. You know, I hope Creed Williams is okay, because he's at least going to have a very large purple bruise in the next day or two if he, you know, escapes a bigger injury.
I mean, the best way to end this, we always try to end the podcast, or I try to usually, by saying, you know, thank you, BA subscribers. And this is one where I really am saying thank you, BA subscribers, because this is one of those days where you're living the dream doing this. I mean, to wrap it back to where we started, where else would you rather be than sitting at a spring breakout game watching some of the best prospects in baseball? The only thing that I could not get out of my mind tonight when I was at Reds Rangers is how amazing the Reds roster, as we mentioned in our pre-podcast, our Spring Breakout Ultimate Rosters podcast.
Yeah.
Why couldn't this have started 1 year earlier and it'd have been like, man, Ellie De La Cruz looked great. Or man, you know, you just go down the list. You know, I mean, they had a ton of guys. But
yes, exactly.
But again, not that let me be clear, not that the Reds don't have an interesting team. They had an interesting roster. Then there's a number of guys, again, not just Rhett Lauder, that stood out. And by the way, if you're a Reds fan, the great thing you get is you're one of those two teams, you and the Cardinals are the only two teams that get two bites of this apple, because the Reds will play another showcase game, prospect, I always say breakout game, against the Guardians later this week. So, Jeff, I'm going to wrap this up because it's well past midnight where you are, and I know that you're not even done. You're going to be cutting video after we're done with this.
Yes.
But anything, any last words before we do that?
Yeah, this is a great way to kick off my 3 weeks here in Florida. I still got 20 days left. I'm going to see a lot of baseball, going to see a lot of backfields, a lot of good prospects. But I don't know. It might be tough to top Skeens pumping 101, 102, and striking out Holiday. It's going to be tough to top that moment. But, you know, I started out my trip last year down here with the biggest moment, I think, in the WBC, which is my second game, and that was Shohei Ohtani striking out Mike Trout. And then here I am a year later, breakout series, you know, I get Skeens striking out Holiday. I think Carlos in our chat said that it was an equivalent, and I didn't respond to it, but it kind of stuck in my head. And I was like, you know, I got to see both of those. I'm pretty lucky. So thank you, PBS subscribers.
I did forget. That does remind me to mention one other thing, which is the cool thing about spring training. So they had backfield games going on. Surprise is a dual team facility, like a lot of them, obviously. So it's Royals and Rangers. And on the Royals backfields, it was Royals, Dodgers, AA, AAA. And so those started at 1, and then the game itself, the breakout game, didn't start till 3. So got to see 5 innings of 2 games back there. And the first, and by the way, Dodgers lineups are just absurd, like you would expect. Yes. So
those Royals low A lineup wasn't so bad either. Like Ramirez was in there. It's kind of interesting.
But so Andy Páez steps to the plate leading off in the AAA game. First pitch he sees, home run over the left field fence. I'm talking. So I was also trying to shoot video for hopefully it'll be up tomorrow, a day in the life, you know, kind of for TikTok and Instagram. And I had thinking in my head when he stepped in, it's like 1:01, I think it was, p.m. Andy Páez starts this game. And then 20 seconds later, it's like 1:01 p.m. Andy Páez scores first run of this game because first pitch, gone. But so, yeah, it's the great thing of what we get to do. Got to see a whole lot of baseball today. Tomorrow I'll get to see a whole lot of baseball. And I'm not going to be here for 20 days, though, so I won't see as much baseball as you do. But for Jeff, for Jay, I'm JJ. We're both probably also yawning a little bit at this point. It's time to kind of wind this down. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast. We'll be giving you much more from both Florida and Arizona throughout the Spring Breakout Series and beyond. For Jeff, I'm JJ. So long, everybody.